Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to another exciting edition of the Meeting of the Minds. Today is July 4th, 2020, and it's what I want to call the USA edition. So I brought in my good friend and former athlete, coached him a long time ago, captain of the 82nd Airborne, Mr. Kevin Rose. Welcome to Meeting of the Minds. How you doing today, bud?
Good. Nice to see you, Chase.
Nice to see you. Tell us about currently what you're doing. I mean, you're an active military combat guy. Give us some clues to what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, so right now, just picked up a new position as a company commander of a parachute infantry rifle company, about 144 guys. And right now, the 82nd Airborne is tasked with a global response mission or immediate response mission. And if you're any student of the news and saw what went down on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, with our rapid deployment to CENTCOM area of responsibility, then that's kind of what we're here to do. So
we're talking about 82nd Airborne, Captain. I mean, you're in charge of those 144 guys?
Yes. Yeah, me and my first sergeant are the command team. And, yeah, we're responsible for everything that organization does and fails to do. So.
Right. So big task. We appreciate you doing that and taking the time out of your day-to-day to just talk to us about mindset. Former athlete, you boxed a little bit at West Point, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah, a couple of years. A lot of good experience and just lessons came from that. So,
absolutely. And you know, high school athlete, standout in baseball. You were a great wrestler. Is there anything else athletically you've done in your life?
No, I think that's it. I think just coming up through and then randomly getting into like cross country and distance running and then having that wrestling experience throughout high school. Baseball was obviously always the kind of the sport I gravitated to the most. And then, like you said, picked up boxing while at West Point, and since then just play a lot of golf. So
and we talk about the mental aspect of sport at a winning mindset. How, you know, I don't know what sport, you can pick one or you can talk about all of them if you would like, but how much emphasis should people place on the mental aspect of sport? Like, what percent would you say is mental?
Well, it's obviously difficult, but I think if you were going to place a percentage on it, it would have to be at least 90. And I say that because it's not like the first 90% is mental and then it's 10% physical. I think it's more foundational than like raw percentage. If you know anything about building or whatever, a cornerstone or a foundation is absolutely critical for the rest to be built upon, like a sturdy configuration. So, you know, obviously you can get away with, having just strong physical attributes and no mental game, but you're not. I don't think you have longevity, and you absolutely can't perform consistently under constant pressure if you don't have the proper mindset. So.
Right. And so how did playing sport all your life and having that mental, you know, you've had a mental approach to the game, baseball and wrestling or whatever you participated in, how did that correlate over to military mindset?
I think it's just the competitive nature of sport and also just the teamwork aspect. Both kind of come together in a way that you want to be competitive with your peers. You want to, you know, try to beat out the guy in front of you or whatever position. But at the end of the day, you know, you're just doing it for one reason, and that's to win games, win championships, and ultimately in the military, you know, win. And I think winning in the military is pretty, you know, speaks for itself. Yeah. There's really not a substitute for it. Yeah, I mean, you absolutely all have a singular goal. You're oriented on one thing, and I think that kind of drives everyone's just desire to be better and you know, achieve that desired end state. So.
Absolutely. That's good stuff. Talking about goals, I mean, does the military give you goals weekly? Do you have to come up with your own goals? Do you talk about goals?
I think goals are typically something that's set for a little more long term. But there's a philosophy or doctrine called mission command, and essentially what it is it allows junior leaders and people who are underneath, you know, your more senior ranking officers and non-commissioned officers to make decisions within what's called the commander's intent. So essentially what I do is I issue an intent to platoon leaders or whoever, subordinate leaders, and I'm also issued that intent for my higher leadership. And what it does is it allows me to make decisions and gives me a left and right limit of kind of what I need to do. So given that, it's goal setting is typically done internally, and it kind of allows you authority and span of control in a place that in an organization where it seems top-down driven. Like, it seems like generals are just making calls every day and, you know, we just fall in line rank and file, but that's absolutely not the case. That's not how it is at all. So I guess kind of reorienting on your question, we do set our own goals. But they're obviously within certain parameters. So.
Right. Right. Well, it's such a, I know you kind of mentioned it earlier, like it's a high pressure game when you're in the military. I mean, it's win, right? There's no lose. If you lose, you're probably going to die. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when people like that,
get
hurt. Yeah. So when a soldier is about to go into combat, is there anything that the military teaches you to kind of calm your nerves, to get you in a different frame of mind, you know, become somebody different? How can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think it's just all has to do with training. I mean, training is something that, I mean, you can look up any number of generals or, you know, whoever that say that training in the military is absolutely the most important thing. And I think correlating that to sport, you know, it's practice. That's what practice is. So we call it training, practice, whatever you want to call it. But I think it's the same thing. If you've been in that situation before, like figuratively, then when it happens again, you recognize it and you can execute and you don't have to think about it.
The fact where you, sorry to cut you off, but maybe you're going into a combat zone and you've got all the pictures. Do you visualize being in there and seeing the mission happen before it happens?
It depends, obviously. I think if it's, like, for example, everyone will tell you, like, no two deployments are the same. I have two, one Afghanistan, one Iraq, and then Kuwait, but completely different mission sets. So what you have to do is basically take your training and morph it into the situation you're currently in. I would say if it's something like a, you know, very deliberate, like targeted mission, you have that ability. Nothing that I was a part of, but like, for example, the SEALs raid on, you know, Osama bin Laden, that was something that was planned and prepared for, like, for months. You know, they built the exact compound. They did a lot of things that,
I actually read about that in a book. They were flying the airplanes and everything and trying to land them in this zone that they've never been in. They were in the desert or something like that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, that's preparation to the extent where you can, you know, visualize as best as possible. But for example, like just me being a infantry guy, not necessarily with that type of skill set. You have to train on your basic tasks and called battle drills. And then that's essentially your playbook. You know, you go into a situation, and you don't really know what you're going to get. And that's kind of why I get paid, you know, is to make decisions and, execute those tasks, as best as possible in any scenario. So
talk about the, I don't know, you jump out of planes. Is there a mindset you have to get in to get pumped up for that? Or have you done it so many times? It's just like, you know,
I definitely haven't done it enough times. I know some people, I think it's just, I don't know. It just seems, it's a little repetitive and it's definitely, exhilarating, I would say. But, that's something that I typically have to like go through kind of a technique and just know like, okay, I do this, I do that, I do that. And I know everything, gravity's going to take care of itself. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean that, and every time I know that my chute opens and I look up and I can see my suspension lines and everything's, you know, open and I'm just floating along, then I know that everything's good. But I'd say that those 2 seconds from the time you're, you know, approaching the door and then exiting, and then before your chute opens, that's probably about a 6 to 8 second process. And that's typically the only time that I'm, you know, maybe a little bit uncalm.
But calm before the storm, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So,
so you have a process, and we talk, I want to relate that to like wrestling mindset. When we work with athletes, we talk about a pre-match routine. You want to do the same thing, have the same thoughts, the same frame of mind every time. Is that similar to getting ready to jump out of a plane? I mean, having those same thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. So with the military, it's called PCCs and PCIs. So your pre-combat checks and inspections. So, I mean, there's literally like cards that we have. It's like a checklist and you just go down it and I check, okay, do I have this, do I have that, do I have water, you know, ammunition, whatever. And then kind of like I was talking to you before about, it's called the JMPI process. And what that is if you're a qualified jump master, you are the one who's inspecting, paratroopers, parachute and their harness, right? Yeah. And there's a lot of intricacies, as I'm sure you can imagine, like, you know, webbings and different types of, you know, fasteners and certain types of cords and things that all need to be in a certain place and be attached a certain way. And it has to be the exact same. And it's a pretty detailed movement of the hands. And it has to be the same every time. So I guess going through that routine, definitely gives you confidence. And really what it's supposed to do is, you know, myself being a commissioned officer and a leader in the organization, I have to instill confidence in soldiers. I can't be the one that's over there just looking all jacked up and sweating and, you know, trembling and everything. So I have to be the one instilling confidence in those guys. And they're typically, I'd say your typical paratroopers, like 19-year-old, you know, from anywhere. 19, 20 year old. So, and those guys are typically out of basic training and then out of airborne school. So, yeah, it's, that those routines and those, I guess those checks and kind of the things you're doing internally and then you're showing externally, give you confidence and then obviously give other people confidence that you not only know what you're doing, but that everything's going to be okay. You're going to be safe. And, we've done everything we can to ensure success. So
it's almost like that checklist takes the guesswork out. I mean, you know, these things are going to happen, and you stop thinking about what potentially could go wrong because you want to make sure the process is good. And then once the door opens, the process is ready. You're ready to jump. You haven't thought about it, all that can go wrong at that point.
That's basically exactly right. Yeah. I mean, by the time I'm jumping out of the door is the first time I'm thinking about jumping out of the door for the most part. And I've done it, you know, you're doing training, you don't have to exit actually like a plane at 1,000 feet to practice it. We have like little mock-ups and things that we use to practice it look just like an airplane, but you're jumping out and it's the ground's 3 feet away, you know? So you get enough reps with something like that, like training aids, I guess you would call them, or, you know, like a sparring partner, you know, that's kind of the same kind of deal where you're just getting those reps in, and but the consequences and the stakes aren't necessarily as high as they could be. So
right it's what you talked earlier about the 19-year-old kids. I can only imagine myself like coaching these athletes, like wrestlers, and I'm nervous for them because they're in a state championship match or, you know, state, you know, regional match, regional tournament, whatnot. On the inside of me, my butterfly's going crazy, but I can't show them that because now they're going to be nervous. We got to keep it the same. So I can see that as a leader. I can see how that could be a something. You said you don't want to stand there all jacked up, right?
Yeah.
And you want to give that air of confidence that everything's going to be okay. You've been here before. We're going to do it again, just like you have before. Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's a qualified jump master. And you were a qualified jump master, right? Is that what you told me?
Yep.
How much training does that take? How many hours to get that certification?
I think it's a 40-hour course. Wow. Maybe. Could be wrong. Maybe longer. It's 3 weeks of instruction, and it's like a kind of, you know, 9-to-5 type deal. So whatever that would be.
It's like a, you know, a full-time job.
120-hour course. Excuse me.
Now, how much of that is actually just jumping out of a plane?
None of it.
Zero, right?
Yeah. It's like all prep.
Wow. So, you said, that foundation.
Yeah. I mean, that's all it is. It's you're a jump master and you're not even exiting a plane during the whole training. So, what that school basically is it's all those things I just talked about. Like it's everything that you're doing to instill confidence in jumpers and ensure that they're good to go so they can do what they got to do.
All right. So take yourself back in time a little bit to when you were an athlete, not that long ago. What one mental prep or mental quality you've learned from the military would you take back in time to your old athletic self?
I mean, I would think two of the things would be definitely breathing and then visualization. But I think that's more of an equation, and what that sums is being comfortable. You know, like I was never like comfortable for the most part doing what I was doing in athletics, especially for me, you know, swinging the baseball bat. I got countless hours of instruction, lessons, hit off the tee, you know, nonstop. But I just never felt like it was comfortable. And then I remember playing just the loosest baseball I could because I knew that, you know, maybe it was right around the end and it was legion ball right before I went up to West Point. I think I batted like 640 and had like 9 home runs in like 12 games or something, you know, like.
Oh, you? I think I might have announced a couple games. You put some on the gym.
Yeah. So, and it was insane because all I did was, you know, before I was thinking about, okay, I gotta sit back and 60-40 weight distribution with, I gotta
put that power on the inside of my right thigh, and, you know, being right-handed. And then when the ball comes, I got to, you know, transition to this point. I got to keep the bat flat through the plane, you know, through the hitting area and all that stuff. And it was just like, come on, dude. Like, I remember seeing, I think it was Jason Wirth, who was, like, crushing it at the time. It's like 09, 2010. And he was hitting, like, 40 home runs a year or something like that. And he just, he was a taller guy, kind of like me. I think he's taller than me, though. He's about 6'5". And the dude just looked like, you know, he was swinging a freaking, you know, I don't know, just a butter knife, you know, just hanging out and just hitting bombs. And I was like, why don't I just do that?
Right.
And I literally asked, I just tried it. And, but what it was I saw like someone executing it, and I saw that I had the athleticism and the ability to do it. And all I had to do was just do it. So obviously it wasn't like the next day, but took some BP, definitely a few sessions of BP. And I was just, the ball looked like a freaking beach ball, you know, cause I'm just comfortable.
Yeah. And you were making yourself go crazy when you, when you think about all the little things that that you need to do to hit a baseball. You don't even be thinking about that. You keep it simple. Just see the ball, hit the ball. Right. It's easy to say, hard to do.
Yeah.
Cause our voice in our head, and some people it's not really a voice, but it's so loud. Like, we have to drown him out sometimes. So we can succeed.
Absolutely.
I like what you said about being comfortable. The military makes you uncomfortable, but what I've found over the last few years in working with mindset and athletes across the world, you want to be uncomfortable, because uncomfortable now makes you comfortable later, and comfortable now makes you uncomfortable later. Would you like to speak on that any?
Yeah, I think, you know, it kind of goes back to what we said about training, preparation, practice, as you would, you know, people would call it in sport. Yeah, I mean, the time to be uncomfortable is when it the stakes aren't high, you know. It's not good to be uncomfortable, you know, when bullets are flying or any kind of thing like that. You know, you got to know and trust yourself. And if you don't trust yourself, I think that's pretty uncomfortable. It's definitely going to make that voice in your head kind of say the what ifs and why didn't I do that, and ultimately lead to maybe regret or, you know, just kind of a lack of self-confidence, you know. And I would say that's pretty uncomfortable, especially in the moment when it's going to be exponentially, you know, exponentially shown through failure. You know, nobody's watching people in the gym or in the wrestling room. Nobody came to practice, you know, but everybody comes to the game. So,
right.
And that's where people are watching. So that's when it matters. So I think that's pretty uncomfortable to not be prepared. So,
and we get comfortable by being prepared, and we teach this, like, we got to trust these processes we put into place, our training, our strength training, our conditioning, our nutrition, our plyometrics. I mean, we got 7 or 8 areas of action plan that we want our athletes to focus in on. And then when you're in a state championship match or a baseball game, or even in war and combat, you don't think about all the little things that you've done. You just start reacting. You're in that flow state because of all the things you've put into place over the previous, maybe your whole life brought you to this moment, right?
Yeah.
All right. Big plans. I mean, you know, this time that our country's in, I know you're probably on high alert all the time. Is there any advice you'd give to just people right now during this crazy time?
I would say, from, I guess, a military standpoint, and then just personally, kind of the way that I like to put it is just like, improve your foxhole. You know what I mean? Improve the 3 to 5 people in your family, you know, the area that you can touch, with like marked improvement. And I would say, if you can improve that, not only start with yourself, but then, like I said, the 3 to 5 people around you, you know, like me being a homeowner, there's plenty to do here. Don't worry about everybody else's mess, you know? So I would say just improve yourself, improve your community, and, you know, try to develop some friendships and things that maybe a lot of people are not only take for granted, but don't analyze. So I think if we could all do that, I think we'd be all right. So
heck yeah, it's beautiful. We've been out here in this community and can't go anywhere. And our friendships have developed. We've got new friends now in our neighborhood. We just married a couple in a backyard not too long ago. That would have never happened if COVID didn't happen. So yeah. I like to look at things on the bright side. And, you know, if I sat here for 4 months and did nothing, I'd be out of shape, about to die, blood pressure would be high, worried to death. And that's not the way we're going to roll. We're going to look at the things in the right direction, the positive way. Well, cool. Look, I know you got a lot of things going on and potentially could get called at any time, right?
Yeah.
Well, if not, you stay safe and I appreciate your time. If there's anything I can ever do for you, you know, I'm here for you. And again, thank you for serving this country. I know there's so many people that take it for granted, like you talked about, but we do not around here, and we don't at Winning Mindset, because we know that the military really, really drives this country and protects us for all the freedoms that so many people take for granted. So thank you again, Kevin, for that.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Is there anything else you want to end on about mindset? Do you think it makes a difference, or how you want to get out of here?
Well, I think it has to. I think, like I said before, it's just got to be the foundation. You know, you can't build a house on sand, and if you do, you're a fool. So you got to start with that, and then you can kind of do anything you want. So
perfect. I love it. Well, look, buddy, I wish you luck. I hope you have a happy 4th, and let's hook up real soon.
Yeah, let's do it. Happy 4th.
All right, let me pause this real quick.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.